Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliani here on another awesome Sunday night, and this is the Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word, and we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Hope you've had an awesome week. The last couple of weeks we've had, sobering shows that were taken from Paul's second letter to Timothy in chapter 3, talking about perilous times coming, and we covered that in quite a bit of detail, and we're finished with that, but we're going to move into what I think is kind of another aspect of this, and it's going to be from Paul's letter to the Galatians. And because Paul, of course, although he's writing 2,000 years ago, has a tremendous gift not only of writing and preaching, although he says he doesn't compliment himself on either thing, especially the speaking, but obviously he was able to debate in the synagogues. He was able to debate with the philosophers on the Areopagus in Athens. He was able to discuss with pagan Gentiles not only Jesus as Messiah, but even the biblical history of the chosen people, the biblical history of Israel, which led to Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. So he was clearly able to get his points across. But at the same time, he always added that he was just a servant. He was just an apostle. This was all by grace. He adds that the Holy Spirit was motivating and empowering his speech, and said that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, which as believers, as Christians, we know that. It's easy to have sort of what people call head knowledge about Jesus. You can know facts about him. And you can even say, yes, 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 he's the Messiah. Yep, he died, he rose from the dead. Yep, got all that down. I learned that when I was a kid. Yep, got it. That's not knowing him in the way that Paul is talking about knowing him. And so he gives an interesting message to the people in Galatia. Well, of course, all the letters to all the churches are interesting, and his pastoral epistles are interesting too. But Galatia was in present-day Turkey, what would have been called Asia Minor at that time. And of course, these were centers of Christianity in those days. It was long before Islam, of course. Islam was 600 years in the future, and maybe 1,000 years before Islam swept into Asia Minor. Because after all, the city of Constantinople, which is one of the ancient centers of Christianity and still has the great ecumenical patriarch there of Constantinople, that did not become Muslim until the early 1400s. But here, at the time of Paul, these were Greek cities. This was the Greek world. These were centers of Christianity. The gospel had been preached. They came to faith in Jesus. Interestingly, these pagan people came to faith in the Jewish Messiah without knowing anything about Judaism or the patriarchs or the temple or the fact that the Jews were waiting for a Messiah. But people like Paul and the others came and preached, and many of them became believers. A church was established in Galatia. We don't have all the details of that, of course. And, of course, at this time, it's important to note that churches were house churches. There were no church buildings until the 300s. And so, in his letter to the Galatians, he addresses a problem. We're only going to do this. We're only going to do a little bit of chapter 1. We're not going to go through the whole book. Although, who knows, maybe we will. But the author of this letter is definitely Paul. There's not a lot of debate about that, because he starts out the letter in verse 1 saying that the letter's from him. He says, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. So the letter's from Paul, and interestingly, he says he's an apostle, not because a man made him an apostle, but because Jesus called him to be an apostle in a different way than he called the others, but same idea, he was called. And he addresses this to the brethren, he also from the brethren who are with him, to the churches in Galatia. And he starts out by doing a little doxology, and he talks about how Jesus gave himself for our sin, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So the beginning of it is a very nice greeting and doxology, so to speak. And so we know that it's addressed to the people in Galatia. And up to verse 5, you know, he's very nice. It's kind of a standard greeting from Paul. He not only tells who the letter is from, which is from himself and some of the other brethren who are with him. And of course, he traveled with any number of people over the years. But it's usually addressed, other than Philippians, most of the letters are addressed to issues that are going on in the churches of that area. So here we have an issue. And the issue starts in verse 6. So this is Galatians 1, verse 6. This is right after the greeting and the doxology that I just read. Verse 6, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Well, I hope in that little introduction, you're going to see where I'm going with this, because he's already concerned that the gospel has been changed. He's already concerned that people have moved away from the true gospel that he preached to some different gospel, which, as he points out, is not another. In other words, it's not a gospel at all. He preached the gospel, and now there's people saying that something else is the gospel. Now, we're talking about first century Asia Minor. We're talking about the Greek world. I should say the Greco-Roman world. We're talking about ancient people who lived 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago right now, Galatia was probably a thriving community. And obviously there weren't believers there yet, but they were just, if the cross was in 33 AD, and we don't know when it was, so don't send me emails. But let's say it was 33 AD, and we're living in 2023 AD. Obviously, there were no believers in Galatia in the year 23, but maybe by the year 40 there were. So about 2,000 years ago, people started to believe in Messiah in this area. Paul came, preached. Other people came, preached. People heard the gospel being proclaimed, and they believed it. And now he marvels at how soon they've turned away. He says, I marvel at how fast this happened. The Greek grammar that's used there is turning away in the present tense, which means they're still turning away as he's writing. It's in the present tense. He says, I marvel. that you've turned away so soon. I was just there. I just heard reports about how wonderful everything was there. And now within a very short time, people are turning away. So here we are 2,000 years later. What's happened? People have turned away from the gospel. People have hijacked the gospel, have changed the gospel to not the biblical gospel, not the plan of salvation that unfolded through the whole Old Testament, the whole Tanakh, then became fulfilled in the Gospels, and then was so crystallized and better explained by the letters, not just Paul's letters, but Peter's letters, John's letter, the writer to the Hebrews, which is, as you know, my favorite book, if you know me, because it's just so profound. And so connected to Torah, especially, and the prophets, that explain in the entirety of the plan how Jesus was the Messiah, and how he's the eternal high priest, and he is the eternal sacrifice, and that you can only be saved by what he did on the cross. And now in our time, the gospel's been perverted to everyone has to be nice. No one can have their feelings hurt. Everything is acceptable. Who's to say what's right and what's wrong? Who am I to judge? No one should judge. And so in a similar way to these Galatians that he's writing to in the year 50-something, we see a lot of similarities. Just like we saw the similarities of Paul's letter to Timothy and a couple teachings I recently did in some other settings on Ezekiel and Jeremiah, which you can find, by the way, on the YouTube channel. If you go to YouTube and search for One in Messiah, Gift of Grace Ministries, One in Messiah, Gift of Grace Ministries, you'll see some amazing connections between our time and the times of Israel at the time of the Babylonian exile. So here Paul's marvels. It means he's shocked. He's surprised that they turned away in some way. They turned away from the purity of the gospel. In 2 Corinthians, I'm trying to remember the chapter. I don't have it in front of me. It might be chapter 2. But in 2 Corinthians, he talks about people add things to the gospel. He talks about how people have moved away from the simplicity that is Christ, the simplicity of the gospel, and have added layers and layers and things and requirements and necessities that have to be done in order to receive salvation. And he says, false teachers are adding things to the simplicity that is Christ. And the simplicity is that he died for you, shed his blood for your sin, so that you can repent of your sin and be saved. Here he says, I'm shocked because you've turned away from the purity of the gospel that I called you to. They were called in grace. Paul's whole message was, it's grace through faith. And it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Principally Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, but through all Paul's letters, it's faith from beginning to end. It's all based on faith. And they were called in grace and faith, but now they were turning away. The simplicity of the gospel was lost. And they had turned away from the grace that the sacrifice of Christ, the sacrifice of the Messiah, had given them. And it happened so soon. The Greek that's used in the turning away, along with being in the present tense, as I mentioned, also means it gives the impression of a retreat, like a military retreat. You know, a military retreat is not, oh, well, I guess we'll just go do something else. It's a running away. In our time, we've run away from the gospel. The whole society has run away from the gospel. We can't have all this business about sin and repentance. we can't have all this business about crosses and blood, and we don't want to talk about all that stuff. That's old stuff. We've progressed now. Now we're able to decide. And now we know more than the Holy Spirit knew when he inspired the scripture, because now we can make our own moral laws. We can live independently. We can live in completely rebellious lifestyles and still think that we're doing good. Well, the prophet Isaiah summarizes this in chapter 5, where God says, "Woe to you when you call evil good and good evil." So now, as I was saying last week, when we stand up for Judeo-Christian morality, we're called haters. We're called bigots. When we espouse the things that God mentions in Jeremiah should make us blush, but we don't blush, should make us penitent, but we're not penitent, we call that good. Because we parade our sin in front of him with no shame. In fact, we're proud of our sin. We have pride months. We're proud of our sin. And we parade that right in front of him. And Paul says, this is a military retreat. And over the last few years, we've seen the military retreat in our time. Well, they were kind of under a different level, a different type of false teachers than we are. We have plenty of false teachers. Just turn on any of the Christian networks for 15 minutes and flip between them, among them, and you'll see any number of false teachers, any number of people who not only contradict what the gospel says, but contradict even the means by which we become disciples. And it's been, these people have caused very serious wounds in the body. But not to fear, because there is a remnant. If you're listening to this, you're probably in the remnant. God is never without witness on the earth. This is a period of time, you know, like we said the last couple of weeks, this has been prophesied all through the scripture. And it's all this is happening for a reason, and soon it will be all resolved. But these people were under attack by what were called the Judaizers. And these were Jewish believers who were mingling law and grace. These were people that wanted to go back toward the idea of the Pharisees, where law is what's important. Well, grace is nice, but law, the rules are what are important. And there are people in the kingdom today who are still harping on, it's the law that's important. It's the rules that are important. And if you break the rules, well, too bad. Bad news for you. Because after all, grace may not apply to you now if you're going to break the rules. So Paul says this is ridiculous. He was more upset about this, as a matter of fact, than he was against all the moral problems that were going on in the Corinthian church. You know, when he writes 1st or 2nd Corinthians, and we've talked about him, and we're not going to go through Corinthians again, but he goes through this whole series of problems in the Corinthian church about sin and immorality and sexual sin and immorality and leadership problems and personality cults and all kind of things that got him to write two letters. But now he's very upset about these people who are mixing law and grace. So he says, if someone calls you to another gospel, if somebody calls you to a gospel of works, for example, where you have to earn your salvation. Yes, works are very important. You're saved unto good works. You have to cooperate with your salvation, yes. But we'll do that some other time. But if someone talks to you about a totally works-oriented gospel, where there are a series of rules that have to be followed, it's not really a gospel. Gospel means good news. So follow to its logical end. It's not good news at all if you're saved by keeping laws, because after all, that's why Messiah Jesus came. That's why he had to suffer and bleed and die, because we couldn't keep the law. And now how are we to assume now, whether we live in Galatia or whether we live in America in the 21st century, how are we to conclude now that somehow we'll keep the law and that'll be fine? And yeah, we're happy Jesus came, but hey, you know, I'll take care of this. I'll say the right number of prayers. I'll light the right number of candles. I'll put everything in a certain order. Well, how's it going to work now when it could not work? And beginning in Jeremiah 31:31, God explained how we need a new covenant. The writer to the Hebrews explained why we needed a new covenant. Because if the first covenant was sufficient to save people, there wouldn't have needed to be a second covenant. God could have just said, well, keep the law and you'll be saved. He did, in fact, say that. But the gospel, which means good news, from an old English word that means good news, the good news is, yes, you're a sinner, but you can be saved. You can break the law, but you can be saved. Not by what you do, but by what he did. So he said, if somebody shifts you over to a completely works-oriented gospel, that's not good news, because you'll never be able to do enough work. In fact, he says, that's not a gospel at all. That's not good news. How do you know when you've done enough good works? How do you know how many you're supposed to do per day? How do you know how many you're supposed to do in your lifetime? What is a good work? Can I be a billionaire and help people all over the world, but be an atheist? Will I be saved? And the answer is no. Because Jesus himself said, no one comes to the Father except through him. So Paul says, this is not a gospel at all. It actually overturns the real gospel. Because you're finding a different way to heaven, which perverts the gospel. So false teachers are misleading these people to mix law and grace. You accept Christ, yes, but if you want to follow the Messiah, you also have to follow the law of Moses. You also have to go back and get yourself into the old covenant, get yourself into the law, get yourself into presumably the rituals involved in the old law. Then you can go back and follow Yeshua. Then you can go back and follow the Jewish Messiah. So basically, you have to be a Jew first, and then you could follow Messiah. So Paul did not accept this. Paul only accepted the gospel of grace. He says, but if we or an angel comes, if an angel comes and preaches another gospel other than what you heard, let him be accursed. He's so confident in the gospel that he preaches that in verse 9, he repeats what he says in verse 8. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. So whether he comes back and preaches a new gospel, you know, let's say someone tried to stone him and he got hit in the head and he had brain damage and he started talking a different gospel, you're to declare him accursed. If an angel comes and preaches another gospel, you're to declare him accursed. Because he repeats again the gospel that he preached. He's so confident in this. Now, he's not talking about minor points of disagreement. He's not talking about points of disagreement. He's talking about the heart of the gospel. Is the gospel grace or is the gospel works? Do you want to set up the law again? As the writer to the Hebrews says, if you neglect such a great salvation, what do you have left? You want to go back to the law? That's not going to work out so well. So you're to be accursed if you preach any other gospel. And it doesn't matter who teaches it, even if it's him, even if it's an angel. Because then the cross is robbed of its power. The cross would not be sufficient for salvation. Oh, I know the music's playing. I have to stop. Well, I guess we're not going to do this in one session. Anyway, come back next week. I promise we're going to finish up Galatians chapter 1. So have an awesome week.